Jason is cutting footloose.
There was a time for this law, but not anymore. This is our time to dance.
Kevin Bacon returns to Payson High this weekend before the old building is torn down. David Dejenovic joins students for a full day of Footloose prom activities. Here are Dave and Debbie, live from Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
And they're launching the celebration in just a few minutes with the big assembly. And then in our 10 o'clock hour, we're going to get with the students here at Payson High School, the principal, and they're going to give us the lineup as they welcome Kevin Bacon back to Payson High School for the prom this weekend, Dave.
Debbie, I just want you to understand that for this show, I'm a professional and I do my homework. So did I watch Footloose last night? Yes, I did, because I'm taking one for the team. Let me give you my initial reactions. I know this isn't the movie show, but let me just tell you, 1984, whenever it came out, it's still good. It is legitimately, I don't think it's just nostalgia speaking, it's still good.
You hit the nail on the head. It was 1984, and they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the release of Footloose by welcoming actor Kevin Bacon, Ren McCormick, back to Payson High. They still have his old locker enshrined here. And I want to know, given our drive out here today, was about 50 minutes from Salt Lake City southbound on I-15, how in the world did Hollywood find Payson, Utah back in the early 80s? We'll be speaking to the Utah Film Commission. Maybe they can give us some insights on that. But let's get to our top local story.
Dave and Dejenovic. Special coverage of the top local story.
It's official. The Arizona Coyotes are heading northbound to Salt Lake City, Utah. The deal has been approved. Ryan Smith, the new owner, for a cool $1 billion-plus dollars. We got an NHL team, Dave.
I'm so happy I can't even stand it. I didn't even know I liked hockey. I am not a hockey fan. I'm a huge sports guy, not a hockey fan at all. I am so excited. I can't even breathe.
Now, we don't have a new hockey stadium yet. That's in the works. That's down the road. It'll take some time, probably, if they're going to build one at all. Yeah. But let's get to the back to the mothership in the newsroom. Adam Small standing by live. Okay, so give us the lowdown. Is this are they going to drop the puck come October at the Delta Center?
That's right, Debbie. At the Delta Center in October, we will have NHL hockey. Again, this new arena is going to be a big talking point here, probably for the foreseeable future, because we don't know like what the plans are. We know that there's legislation to support it and a proposed tax increase. If the city council signs off, that would help fund it. But for right now, for the foreseeable future, the Utah's NHL hockey team will be playing at the Delta Center. They actually got some NHL decor. They turned the Jazz logo black for NHL logo. Right outside there this morning. It's super cool to see. But, yeah, we will have NHL hockey in Utah. We are now home to two of the big four North American sports. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Adam, I think it is significant. It's important to point out that as we learned about this, it is NHL to Utah. It's not NHL to Salt Lake City. That was a very clear distinction that they wanted to make sure that NHL is going to have the word Utah in it, not SLC.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too, because this doesn't just impact Salt Lake City, as cool as it is to have another team playing in the Delta Center. This impacts Utah. I mean, we're talking about how united this state is from top to bottom, and I think that's a cool touch. I mean, we got the Utah Jazz, I think it just fits along to have the second team also bear the name Utah. I mean, I'm interested to know what the mascot's going to be. I mean, I'm personally a fan of either Venom or Fury, but that's just me. But we know it's going to have Utah in front of it.
We'll drop some names in about 6 or 7 minutes or so, because they've filed some trademark requests, it looks like. So we're going to drop some names. Adam, make sure you stay tuned, because we'll be curious to see what you think about some of these names they're dropping as well. Dave's got another question for you.
Well, I definitely, number one, have some big opinions on the names that drop. But again, we'll put a little pin in this. We'll circle back to it. But the one thing I wondered is, with that name Utah versus Salt Lake City, I wondered if there was an opening, a door that was kept cracked about possibly not moving it to Salt Lake City and moving it elsewhere. Are there any rumblings about that? Because again, if you say Salt Lake City hockey team, whatever it is, then you're pretty much located in Salt Lake City, no question. Any rumblings that perhaps if the negotiations don't go well with Ryan Smith and the Salt Lake City Council, that they could play elsewhere.
You know, I had not heard any rumblings, at least in all these mass amount of reports we've gotten here, at least in just this week and the last several days. But I mean, what I do remember is, what was it, a couple of months ago now that we got a report that, you know, that Smith Entertainment Group, I think, was poking around Point of the Mountain potentially for a potential site or something like that. But I mean, the report came out. I didn't really get a lot after that. But I mean, it's a good point, Dave. I think it could potentially leave the door open. But I mean, at least as the massive legislation they passed in the legislative session, this bill, I mean, it's talking about specifically revitalizing downtown. But who knows? Maybe they did have thoughts of playing elsewhere. But I mean, at least right now, it's looking like Salt Lake all the way.
Adam Small in the newsroom for us this morning, tracking the developments of the NHL approving the move to Utah for the Arizona Coyotes. So the new rebranded team automatically gets a windfall of fan seats because the Delta Center is so much bigger than that tiny little mullet arena they were sequestered to down at Arizona State University, Adam.
Yeah, no, it's a huge thing. So I was actually Googling some of the stadium capacities around the NHL. And if you look at the Delta Center in terms of unobstructed seats, I think it's about 14,000. It can accommodate for unobstructed hockey seats as it stands. We know they're probably going to be doing some renovations over the next couple of years to up that to about 17,000, which is more like at least closer to league average. And 14,000 right now is actually technically the lowest in the NHL for unobstructed viewing. But I mean, you compare that to Mullet Arena in Arizona, that was just 5,000. So you could see that the Board of Governors and the NHL wanted to get something immediately that could accommodate a lot more fans. And the Delta Center, while it comparatively to the other ones has less unobstructed seats, it's a lot more than what they were dealing with in Arizona. And unfortunately, those fans just caught in the middle of that whirlwind.
Yeah.
Caught in the whirlwind and not happy about losing.
But there weren't
team.
Enough fans. Adam Small, thank you so much for keeping an eye on this development that the NHL has approved and signed off on the move northbound for the Arizona Coyotes. They're coming to Utah. They'll start the season in October. It sounds like they're going to start it at the Delta Center. I've had a few friends reach out to me, Dave, and ask about the Maverick Center on the west side. That's where the Grizzlies play. That's in West Valley City. What are your thoughts on the Maverick Center?
And really, it is the premier hockey place right now in Utah. It's where the Grizzlies play. They're used to it. The problem is you want to create a culture around downtown. And the Delta Center's there. Ryan Smith owns the Delta Center. So all of this lines up. I can't imagine there's any scenario where the Maverick Center plays a role in any way. The NHL, the NBA, they have the same season. So the Jazz and the new hockey club is going to have to figure out a time. There will be, okay, you're off on Tuesday, we're coming in on Wednesday, and you've got to build in that time to switch out of court to ice.
You have been tracking the ticket sales, which already started right after the announcement was made. You've got some astounding numbers on how quickly these tickets are being gobbled up and what the protocol is. So you're going to run with that in about 3 minutes, and I'm going to tee up the different names that are floating around out there. I don't think you're going to like them. Next.
Bacon to Payson arrives in Utah County. Dave and Dejanovic are live at Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
Oh, you could just feel the vibe in the air. And Ren McCormick's old locker is just right around the corner from us. We got to make sure we snap a photo and post that all over social media. You know, Payson High is going to get torn down next spring of 2025. But before it gets torn down, they're having a prom here tomorrow night. And Kevin Bacon, Ren McCormick from Footloose, is heading back to Payson High.
This is such a shock because we were here about a year ago. What was it, about a year ago that we were here at Payson High School? Because we were talking about the teardown, and they started this groundswell. And they started thinking, hey, what if we got Kevin Bacon to come out? And they started posting it on social media. It was a long shot. We didn't think there was a chance. And then about a year later, I'll be darned, that's exactly what they've done. A
couple of weeks ago, and it is super exciting. There's a buzz here. Students are stopping by. They're picking up the Krispy Kreme donuts we brought them. They're tagging us all over social media. But while we wait for the students to wrap up their big assembly, which just got underway to celebrate prom, they're going to be announcing royalty. Remember those days?
Yep.
Let's get back to our top local story, which is the NHL is heading back or heading to Utah, packing up their bags in Arizona and heading north. It's been approved for Ryan Smith to buy the team. So they'll drop the puck in October for their first game here, likely at the Delta Center. We just wrapped up a lengthy, in-depth discussion with KSL News Radio's Adam Small, who's been tracking that development. That stadium is a lot bigger than where they're coming from. They were playing about 4,500, 5,000-seat Mullet Arena down there at Arizona State University. I love saying Mullet Arena. Mullet Arena.
Party up front, or what is it, business up front, party in the back arena.
So they're going to have a lot more they've got a windfall of seats at the Delta Center. And you have been tracking the developments on ticket sales, which started immediately as soon as the announcement was made.
Yeah, ticket sales. We'll put quotation
air quotes,
marks.
You're right. It's ticket reservations.
Yeah.
That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, because we don't know what it's going to cost. And if people are thinking, oh, I can't wait for NHL to come here, it's going to be so much cheaper than the Jazz game, don't think that. I mean, this is not a super affordable sport. If you look across the country, ticket prices are very similar to NBA prices. So with that in mind, they started making reservations. And Ryan Smith, the owner, tweeted out, in the first 2 hours, remember, Mullet Arena would only fit 4,500 people. In 2 hours, they had 6,000 deposits on season tickets.
What was the deposit price again?
Oh, it was like $100.
$100 to reserve.
Yeah.
An opportunity for season tickets.
Yes, and there's going to be priority given to Jazz owner or Jazz season ticket,
which I did not like. I did not like that. I felt like that should be open up to anybody. It felt a little bit like those who can afford season tickets to see the Jazz can also have first priority to reserve season tickets for the new NHL team, especially in light of the conversations that we've been having about getting kids excited about an NHL team and getting them into hockey. And there's a lot of families out there who simply cannot afford season tickets. I wasn't excited about that marketing approach to this.
At the same time, you also kind of get it, right? I mean, you kind of understand he's the owner.
You might get
he's
it.
He's the owner of the Jazz and the new hockey club.
Mm-hmm.
So
you get it from his point of view. I'm taking a much different approach.
And that's
to
a fair.
It.
That's a, it's a fair thing because to be able to afford season tickets for both the Jazz and the hockey club,
you got to be wealthy.
Oh, Debbie.
Oh, you're putting it on a credit card.
No. You can't even put it. I think the credit card would deny it and say, what are you doing? Are you
got to be wealthy.
Yeah,
you got to be rich.
You've got to have some money.
So that's
no
just
question.
My hot take on that. But
6,000 reservations in the first 2 hours. We have an update to that.
Really?
Yes. It's now 11,000.
So double the number of people they could pack in that tiny arena in Arizona.
Debbie, it's nearly triple. And that was 14 hours ago.
And practically sold out based on what we just heard from Adam Small, who said that unobstructed views anyways, it sits at about 14,000.
Oh, that's a great point.
Center.
Now, if you're wondering what in the world is an obstructed view.
Isn't that when you have a pole right between your nose?
Yeah. It can be a pool. It can be a pole. It can be a speaker, the sound system.
Or a guy who's 6'8" sitting in front of you. Sorry.
That doesn't count. That actually
did. In that arena, it does. Because the seats are situated in such a way. Well, maybe they've upgraded it a little bit since I've last been able to afford to go to a Jazz game. But sometimes, you know, you get a tall person in front of you. You can't see a thing because of the way the seats are.
Yeah, I'm just saying they don't list that. They don't list it.
Yeah, you don't know that.
But one thing about the Delta Center you have to remember is several years ago they put in a huge new sound system and a video board, which is very large. So the higher you get, depending on where they put the ice, that might be obstruction as well. Hockey also has boards going all the way around the rink. So depending on your angle, you will lose the puck depending, if it's up against the board and gets lower. So a hockey arena is very specific the way it has to be designed a little higher, a little steeper when it comes to the seating so you can look more directly down on the ice.
Really witness the fights.
I do love the fights. It doesn't fight quite as much as it used to, but that's, which is unfortunate.
Okay, so that's a wrap on Dave's review of what's going on with ticket sales. Priority goes to Jazz season ticket holders. People are reserving them for $100, and then I guess they'll make a big announcement. And it's per batch of tickets, per batch of season tickets. So $100 reserves you like one group of season tickets, and if you're going with a buddy or, you know, your wife or your husband or whatever, you got to reserve them separately, right?
That's I didn't know if it was for a pair or
okay,
not.
Okay, well, yeah, there's a lot to learn yeah about that.
But it's $100. Listen, if you're interested in season tickets, $100, $200, that's not a big difference.
I want to talk about what KSL News Radio posted on Facebook yesterday. It caught my attention. Anonymous applications have been submitted to trademark the following names. So there's been five trademarks made for potential Utah NHL team names. I'm going to bounce these off you, Dave. Utah Blizzard, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going to dislocate my thumb with the thumbs down on this. Like, that's how violently I'm pushing my thumb straight down. How in the world could you think, having the Colorado Avalanche to our east and we become the Utah Blizzard, is a good idea? Mm-hmm. That is the worst name, and I've seen some terrible names out there. That is by far the worst.
Are we really known for our blizzards? when I think of Blizzard, I think of Dairy Queen, quite frankly. Those milkshakes you can't suck through a straw, you know. Okay, Utah Venom is another name.
That one doesn't make any sense because it has it's a desert, right? I mean, if we're talking about snakes and venom.
Well, we got lots of rattlesnakes.
Yeah. No, I get it. This is a hockey team.
I see.
It's got to have something to do with
the desert in Arizona. Leave the desert game in Arizona. Yeah. Okay. Utah Fury, F-U-R-Y. Not furry, Utah Fury.
That's the problem right there. You cannot have something that looks so much like furry.
It's horrible. Okay. Utah HC.
Hockey club. That's what
well,
HC stands
for. Well, and Utah Hockey Club. So there's two Utah HC and Utah Hockey Club.
This is...
See, this doesn't sound like a name. That sounds like an idea.
No. Okay, so...
Just explain that to me.
Okay, so one thing they did announce is that they are not going to have a name by the time October rolls around.
What?
They're not going to have the Venom, the Blizzard. That's not going to be the official name. They're going to largely be just the Utah Hockey Club, the Utah No Names, the Utah whatever, but they're not going to settle on a mascot. This is a genius idea.
Okay.
This is a instead of rushing into a name, instead of rushing into a design, let's take a breath. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're just happy to have NHL here. We'll be the hockey club.
I'm sure there's some behind the scenes that has to be done with trademarking, but I was really leaning into the Utah Yeti.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, except that's for fun. It is also a cooler, and that is a big brand name, so I'm not sure if there would be some trademark issues there. What's yours?
Okay, I think I found the perfect one. Oh, we're out. Okay.
No, we're good. You've got
time. We got time? Okay.
Hurry.
Well, I'm trying to build it up.
Have a quick thought for a change.
Okay,
go.
I can't do it. Blade Runners. How in the world is Blade Runners not the slam dunk? Number one, the nickname is
too
fantastic.
Long.
The Utah Blades.
Too long.
The Utah Blades is phenomenal.
With a Z.
Blade Runners, do not put a Z anywhere in this. Come on, folks. We've learned our lesson. We've learned
Blade
our lesson.
Blade Runners.
It is the Jazz.
Let's
it's not the Buzz.
At the end.
It's not the Stingers.
Oh, my gosh. You're killing my great ideas over
no
here.
Z's.
I think this name's way too long, Dave.
No.
It's not going to fit on a uniform.
Blade Runners?
Blade Runners.
Blades.
You had
blades.
These blades. Blades.
Don't you rain on this parade. Are you kidding? There's going to be a groundswell effort started by me.
All right. We're still live at Payson High School waiting for Kevin Bacon to show up. I know it's going to be a minute. But the students are wrapping up their assembly in the next 15 minutes. They're announcing royalty. Of course, Kevin Bacon returning to Payson to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Footloose. Yeah, that's right. We're getting old. It was it came out in 1984. But next, we're going to talk about the impact that getting a hockey team will have on the 2034 Olympics that we don't officially have yet, but we're going to get. That's next.
Payson is cutting Footloose.
There was a time for this law, but not anymore. This is our time to dance.
Kevin Bacon returns to Payson High this weekend before the old building is torn down. David Dejanovic joins students for a full day of Footloose Prom activities. Here are Dave and Debbie, live from Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
Dave, I just had this flashback. I was 17 years old when Footloose came out in 1984. And, of course, now we're sitting here at Payson High School in the hall. Just a year before, this building is going to be torn down. They're going to rebuild it again. I think it's going to be the fourth or fifth rebuild of Payson High since the 1800s here in Utah County. And it has been a journey since that movie came out for all of us. I had one friend reach out to me and say, I can't believe it's been 40 years. But that, I had no idea the impact when I was watching it at a movie theater in Arizona, where I grew up. The impact that that movie had on this quaint yet awesome community of Payson. It is so iconic that they have enshrined Ren McCormick's locker just right around the corner from where we are. Of course, Ren McCormick, you know, he was the big man on campus, star Kevin Bacon, who will be heading back to Payson for prom here tomorrow night.
A lot of people, number one, associate Lehigh Roller Mills. You know, that's, they think,
I remember
wasn't that shot in Lehigh?
Yes.
No, that the school scenes were shot here at Payson High School. So, yeah, they shot a little bit where Ren was working at Lehigh Roller Mills. But the movie itself, the high school was Payson High School. You talked about the locker. They also have black and white photos around the school of Footloose. So they've leaned into it for years. It's very cool. In fact, going back to the locker, they actually assigned the locker to kids. Like, you can get Ren McCormick's locker. It's not like a shrine. They get to use it. It has a little plaque.
Students are wrapping up an assembly, and then they'll be joining us. We're going to ask them how they managed to do it. How did they convince Kevin Bacon to come back to Payson for the 40th anniversary celebration of Footloose?
Can I just say, if I'm going to this prom, I'm 100% wearing the Ren McCormick tuxedo. Like, you've got the purple, plum, jacket, okay, black pants, black bow tie. It looks fantastic. Do not go with the Willard, which is the baby blue jacket with the pink frilly fluffy. Don't go Willard, go Ren.
Fashion icon Dave Noriega with the Ren McCormick look for tomorrow night's prom here at Payson High School. All right, let's get to our top local story.
Dave and Dejanovic. Special coverage of the top local story.
With the Arizona Coyotes shedding their brand in Arizona, heading north to Utah to drop the puck in October for the season opener, this is a big deal, not only for hockey fans, not only for downtown Salt Lake, but it also could potentially be a really big deal for the 2034 Olympics that we don't officially have yet, but I know we're going to get them.
Absolutely. Fraser Bullock joins us right now. And Fraser, I really want to know, number one, I mean, everything is lining up in a million different ways. Talk to us about the significance of an NHL team coming here.
Well, we in Utah are blessed with many fantastic venues. We have everything we need. But if we get the NHL here, it levels us, it takes us up a whole nother level for a couple of reasons. Number one is we want the best athletes coming to our games. And the NHL doesn't always play in every Olympic Winter Games. And so we want them. We are so excited that we could have them here. And with an NHL team here in Utah, that brings us that much closer, and it increases the odds incredibly that we'll have the NHL at our games.
Okay, that's the question I was going to ask you. Fraser Bullock, CEO of the Salt Lake Organizing Committee. Of course, the members of the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, were just here just a few days ago. They were touring the different venues. Was this part of that discussion that Utah gets an NHL team? We just checked that box yesterday. The NHL has signed off on Ryan Smith's purchase of the Arizona Coyotes. That box is checked. Did you talk to the IOC at all about hosting, you know, hockey here for the Winter Olympics in 2034?
Yes, we did. And we told them we have a fantastic base plant already, but we did let them know that the NHL coming here is a distinct possibility, and that just takes us to another level, not only of the odds of having the NHL here, which are extremely solid now, and then the other thing is the venue will be enhanced at the Delta Center. It will have more seating. It'll have more capabilities in terms of hospitality and elements like that that just help us put on even a better games with a new arena, or not a new arena, but an enhanced arena, and the NHL coming, most likely coming to our games.
I was going to say, is the working theory right now that it's going to be the Delta Center, or is there a belief or rumblings in the background that there could be a specific NHL arena?
My belief is it will be an enhanced Delta Center, because they would like to have more capacity to be able to have more fans experience the NHL. So my personal belief is that they will somehow expand the Delta Center and make it even better.
Frazier, our discussion, not only being here at Payson High celebrating the 40th anniversary of the release of the movie Footloose, but also the discussion that we just had with you about the possibility of getting hockey in the Olympics and getting maybe even being able to host that here in 2034, took me back to 1980 and the Miracle on Ice. I'm living in the 80s, Frazier.
Yes, I remember. I was watching that game, so I remember that.
It, me too. How exciting would that be to have that vibe here during the games as well?
Well, and in 2002, we had a fantastic tournament with the NHL, and it came to USA Canada, and we had Wayne Gretzky in the stands. I mean, it was just on that final Sunday of the games, it was absolutely incredible. Very, very tight game. And the Canadians just barely edged out Team USA. So maybe this time around we can flip it and let Team USA edge out Team Canada.
Awesome.
Frazier Bullock, thank you so much for joining us. Leads the world right now when it comes to this, the Utah Olympics. So we appreciate it. Debbie, this was a very important point that he made, is if we get NHL players into the Olympics – NHL players haven't played in the Olympics for a decade, and that is a massive fail. They have agreed to let the Winter Games have NHL players in 2026 in Milan and then 2030. So if we get it in 2034, that is a real likelihood. But it is absolutely crucial in the Olympics that you see the best players.
This has been a huge month, maybe that's an understatement, a huge year so far in 2024 for Utah. Think about this. The IOC was just here. It does look like in July they're going to put the exclamation point on our 2034 bid to bring the games back to Utah. NHL just signed off on bringing a team to Utah. Next up, it's the possibility of getting a Major League Baseball team and a Major League Baseball stadium built a little bit west of downtown Salt Lake City, Dave.
And that would be so monumentally huge. Here's the problem with the baseball twist on it. It likely wouldn't happen until 2030, 2031, 2032.
Just before the games.
Just before the games. Yeah. So to actually get a stadium built would be very, very difficult, but the announcement would be big.
Well, I think it's a dawning of a new era, certainly for downtown Salt Lake City, and I'm excited to see how this develops. Straight ahead, speaking of big developments, we're going to go put our eyes on Washington, D.C., because they've decided back in Congress to vote on funding for Ukraine, funding for Israel, and also wrapping in the TikTok ban. And this could all go down this weekend. So if you're on TikTok, if you have a son or daughter who's on TikTok, stay tuned. We're going to go in depth on the possibility of the ban and what changes have been made in the legislation. It doesn't quite take the sting out totally of a ban, but it does relieve some of the pressure that it would happen right away.
Bacon to Payson arrives in Utah County. Dave and Dejanovic are live at Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
That's right. The assembly is wrapping up. We're seeing the students start to fill the hall here at Payson High School, where they're going to welcome back Kevin Bacon. after it's probably, I don't know when they filmed Footloose here at Payson High. I know it was released in 1984, and the students invited Kevin Bacon back. He heard their cries. They were begging for Bacon for the better part of a year to come back, and he's going to be here tomorrow night to celebrate their prom night, which will be held here at Payson High.
Yeah, I'm always begging for Bacon. That's not a new thing. But, you know, this is really a cool thing and quite the accomplishment. It makes a lot of sense. I love it's a big round number, the 40-year anniversary. They're tearing down the school. The stars have absolutely lined up. I love that he was willing to come here and participate, because this is something those kids will never, ever forget, their prom.
In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to the students. We'll be talking to the principal. We'll be talking to everybody who's responsible for getting Kevin Bacon back. And I also want to know who's wearing, what do you call it, the purple?
Oh, the purple tux?
The purple tux in honor of
Brent McCormick.
The purple jacket,
black pants, black bow tie, white shirt. I mean, that it's a sharp look.
Right now, we're going to talk about the TikTok ban. According to ABC News, here's the headline. A TikTok ban is wrapped in Speaker Johnson's foreign aid package. So let me divest this, like they want to do with TikTok. So what they've done, Dave, is we talked about the TikTok ban a few weeks ago, where it passed through the House, and then the Senate had indicated it was going to be in no hurry to take a vote on banning TikTok in the United States. This has been talked about for quite a while. The House finally got enough votes together to get that legislation passed. But the Senate had indicated, we're going to go, we're going to take this really slowly. Well, now there's been a rebirth of this, and it may happen really quickly this weekend. TikTok, of course, 170 million users across the United States, very popular app. At times, I think it's starting to outpace some of the more well-known apps in terms of, you know, how often it's being used every single day. It's a big deal for a lot of teenagers who are on it. A lot of businesses use it to market their products as well. And so TikTok has been screaming that this would hurt a lot of businesses if they banned it. There seems as though there's going to be a vote this weekend, and it'll be all part of this aid package where Congress is considering sending aid, military aid, to Ukraine and also to Israel. So I believe it's separate pieces of legislation, but still, it does feel like to me they're shoving all of that nasty spinach into baked brownies to try to disguise this TikTok ban with the aid packages they're trying to pass.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it. I wonder if Speaker Johnson is trying to catch the momentum of saying, okay, listen, if we're going to start working together and agree on things, then let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's eat all the spinach at once instead of spreading it out. One thing he is passionate about is separating these bills. That is something that his speakership has focused on from the get-go. He doesn't like these omnibus or minibus bills where you're lumping everything all together. So, yeah, from what we understand, these are individual bills. So one for Ukraine, one for Israel, one for TikTok, one for Taiwan, all of these things. But I think what's happening is he's saying, okay, listen, folks, as long as we're working together, can we just all work together all at once? We'll just make it one miserable day where we have to look at each other and work together. And if you can get a bunch of yeses, then maybe you can have a big day in Congress.
The TikTok ban bill has changed just a bit, not a lot, but just enough to buy TikTok more time. Initially, they were going to be forced to sell off TikTok to an American company, social media company, within 6 months. It extends that to 9 months, and then also gives the president, which he's already said he's going to sign it, it gives the president an opportunity to infuse another 3 months for TikTok to have enough time. So it could mean that it's a year before the ban actually goes in place, given the extended timelines here, to give TikTok enough time to sell off this social media, huge social media company, which I didn't understand how they figured they were going to get a deal. Congress figured any deal would go through in 6 months. I will say this, it will also give TikTok enough time to run to the courts and also their users to run to the courts and file lawsuits and allow lawsuits to wind through the courts as well. This will be heavily addressed in probably numerous jurisdictions in court. And let's remember that Montana has struggled to get its TikTok ban implemented. It tried, but right now that is stalled because of First Amendment concerns.
There's a few things that you have to look at. Number one, antitrust. Who can buy this? Who's going to be able to spend the $50 to $100 billion to purchase TikTok? It's probably going to be one of the big tech companies. It's got to be an Alphabet, Google, YouTube, you know, one of these companies to be able to afford that. That's a huge amount of money. Remember, Elon Musk, he spent a little over $40 billion for Twitter, and it's not easy. He's the richest man in the world, and there's not a lot of those kind of owners out there. So to make it happen in 6 months or a year, that's still a pretty lofty aspirational goal.
All right, we'll keep an eye over the weekend on the possibility of not only the money to Ukraine and to Israel, but certainly I think top of mind for many kids and parents and businesses in Utah will be, will Congress step up and actually implement that ban on TikTok. Straight ahead, we're going to go big time on Footloose. Let's Dance. And we're also going to be talking about Taylor Swift dropping a double album overnight and why I think this is an opportunity for parents to really lean into this and connect with their teenagers who love her.
Said is cutting Footloose.
There was a time for this love, not anymore. This is our time to dance.
Kevin Bacon returns to Pace and High this weekend before the old building is torn down. David Dejenovic joins students for a full day of Footloose prom activities. Here are Dave and Debbie, live from Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
Promise, Dave, before we leave here today, after the show wraps up, we're going to be able to go down to Ren McCormick's old locker. We're going to be talking to the kids who just wrapped up an assembly, and we'll have the full lowdown on what those prom activities are going to be. We're talking to the principal in just a moment of Payson High School, Jesse Sorensen, about the big weekend. Ren McCormick, Kevin Bacon, coming back to Payson High.
I told you I did my homework last night. I watched Footloose because I'm dedicated to the craft. I'm willing to make the sacrifices. I'll tell you this, it's still a good show. It's still a good show. It absolutely was a great story. And Ren McCormick is one of my all-time faves.
How did they get him to come back, Principal Sorensen?
You know, it was just a lot of hard work on the students' behalf, getting his attention, leveraging social media and their leadership skills, and just persistence, really. I got to the point I wondered if we were harassing him.
But, oh, for sure. But it was a good harassment.
It was positive. It was all good. Positive and in good fun. And, yeah, we're grateful that he responded and that he acknowledges the impact that Footloose had on our community and our students and really the culture of our entire country.
One of the things I love about this story is I think sometimes as parents, you know, we can listen to our kids' crazy dreams and think, no, you should do that, thinking, you know, there's no way he's actually going to come here to our little school, right? So what was your experience when you saw the kids maybe pitch the idea in the first place? You're like, yeah, no, go ahead and move forward, and then to see it become realized.
Yeah, I'll just say I was a believer from the beginning.
Really?
I really felt like this could happen. Just the lining up of the 40-year anniversary, the demolition of this building, the 100th-year anniversary of the Utah Film Commission. I told the kids, let's go for it. Let's go all in. And but, yeah, it's all about kids dreaming big, just like in the movie. And the kids really, they put the work in. They made it happen. It's been super fun to watch.
So you just mentioned a few minutes ago that this movie has had a lasting impact on the community. And as I was driving down here this morning, I was reminded of how far off the Wasatch Front in Salt Lake City it is. It's like 50 miles. Kind of felt like in the middle of nowhere today, although it's grown up a lot here, lots mm-hmm. of new homes and new development. But I'm curious, Principal Sorensen, how much impact, what has that lasting impact been on the community of Payson?
I think it's something that we can call our own. It's something that put us on the map, I think, in a small way. A lot of people give Lehigh a lot of credit because the roller mills are right there.
It's part of Footloose.
And people can see that. But this was the home of where everything happened, was Payson High School in Payson, Utah. And we're just proud. I mean, there were a lot of people that were extras in the film that still live in town. Everybody has a favorite Footloose moment and a little claim to fame because of that film.
I was just thinking about the tractor chicken fight. Did that happen here in Payson?
Yeah. It's actually, when you pull into town, you see the P Mountain there in the background. It's just right directly on the other side of P Mountain.
What can you tell us about the other scenes that were filmed here?
Everything. The car wash scene is down here by our old movie theater since they've torn down the old car wash a few years ago. But that part of town's there. All over Payson High School, the halls, the parking lot scenes. There's a scene just right outside of our front office, the cafeteria. The book burning scene was just right here behind me in our courtyard, the library, classrooms. It's everywhere. The gym. When you walk down the halls of Payson High School, you're in the film.
The footprint is just about everywhere, not only on Payson High, but also around the community.
Around town, yeah. There's different
scenes. So having had that discussion with you just now and you letting us in on all that, I'm going to go back and watch that movie again this weekend.
Yeah, you've got to watch it, Debbie. It's a classic.
I've seen it 100 times.
Make it 100.
I mean, I will just tell you, if there had been social media back in 1984 when I was 17 years old and saw this at a movie theater, I would have stalked Kevin Bacon on Instagram. But thankfully, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, I was absolutely in love with him. And I asked Dave to look up, how old was Kevin Bacon back in 1984? I was 17 and Dave said, oh, he looked it up. He was 24. Yeah. He was too old for
me,
Dave.
You know what, though? It's never too late. You can always dream big. I mean, he's only been married for 30 years to Kira Sedgwick, but you know what?
They have a great marriage. They have a great marriage. So what happens to Ren McCormick's locker, which is right around the corner from us, and it's still enshrined. I know kids can use it, and all the pictures when this building comes down next year.
It's going to go with us to the new version of Payson High School, to our Payson High School 2.0.
Yes.
And it'll be there to just commemorate the fun history and the memories that were associated with this building in the film.
I think one of the things that I've learned most about this is, you know, sometimes people will run away like, oh, you know, we've outgrown this. But the fact that you have kids in a movie that really kids mostly roll their eyes at, the movies that we loved growing up, the fact that they embrace it, that they enjoy it, that they want to have their prom here. You know, so many times we know that when you have a prom, they'll have it at the state capitol or some, you know, larger venue. Why did you decide to have it here? I mean, it seems overly obvious, but why here?
Like you said, the most obvious statement is just the connection, the historical connection to our town and our community. It's home for our students. And obviously there's other reasons, too, just as far as ease of traveling and commuting and whatnot, but
probably
it's home.
Less expensive for the kids too.
Yeah, it's less expensive. We're
you.
Able to
parents
create
probably appreciate it.
Yeah, and it affords the opportunity for kids who maybe aren't willing to drive or able to drive with transportation to Salt Lake or to another venue.
This is special. It really is. There is a vibe here in the hallways here, and we're looking at the students as they're hanging around and watching us broadcast live. I can't believe that they think we're the most interesting thing here right now. But they just wrapped up in an assembly where royalty was announced for the prom. What else is on tap for the rest of the day, and how will tomorrow go?
The rest of the day is really pretty much a regular school day. We have a catered lunch. KFC is bringing us in
a
lunch.
That's not a regular school day.
Well, for the faculty. The kids don't get they're not in on the KFC, but our faculty, opportunity for sponsorship and people to share their love with Payson High School has been overwhelming. Last week we had Express Clothing Store donate $200 to every student and staff member on campus.
That's amazing.
$200.
What?
We figured the value was over $320,000 that our students received, which was phenomenal. It's been super fun for our students.
When does Ren arrive?
Tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow.
I just want to know when I need to be sitting across the street at the ball fields with my binoculars, which I carry in my car. Yeah. I do carry a set of binoculars. I know it's super weird, but it's for moments like this, honestly.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Are the kids so excited?
They're excited. Their parents are excited.
They're nervous, too.
And some of their grandparents are even more excited. So it's a whole – it's a multi-generational.
So will the prom be more than just the students? Will the parents be participating? Or are you going to lock them out?
We're locking them out. Parents
have to go to Lehigh Roller Mills if they want to
dance. Have their own party
somewhere
else.
What are they, tractor chicken fight in the pasture?
Yeah.
Don't give them ideas.
This is a really big deal, though, for the whole community.
We want this to be for the kids. It's for the kids.
And I love it.
Yeah, we're proud of them.
All right, final question. If you were to describe your dancing skills, is it more Ren McCormick or is it Willard?
I'm definitely Willard.
I'm definitely Willard, too.
I'm Willard.
I'm 100% Willard.
I'm 100% Ren.
I try, but I am Willard.
You should see me Zumba. I got the moves on, guys. Yeah. Principal Jesse Sorensen, amazing day, amazing weekend, and an amazing student body here.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys coming by again.
Can we squeeze one of the students in here in the next hour or so?
Absolutely.
Like, tear them away from the mashed potatoes and gravy that they're going to take from the teachers.
Okay, yeah.
Get them over here before we leave.
We'll get you a student here, no problem.
Give us just a minute. We're going to stick around through the 11 o'clock hour, through the 10 o'clock hour, of course, and celebrate with the students the 40th anniversary of Footloose. And straight ahead, the Utah Film Commission joining us live, Virginia Pierce. I want to ask her if she knows anything at all about how in the world the producers or the director, how Hollywood came to find Payson, Utah for the film Footloose, Dave.
I love it. It ended up being the perfect place.
It's awesome.
And it will be very interesting to see Kevin Bacon's reaction to what Payson is now 40 years later compared to what he had.
That's a great point. It has changed a lot. That's next.
Bacon to Payson arrives in Utah County. David Dejanovic are live at Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
Kevin Bacon making his way back to Payson High School where they filmed Footloose so many years ago. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, Dave, over social media because I posted that we're going to be here live from 9 to 11 today. And they said, I cannot believe it's been 40 years since the release of that movie.
One of the things I love about this story specifically, because we've had a million movies shot in Utah, but typically when you think about movie shot in Utah, you think of the Western, you know, Kevin Costner. This is small town America. That's what they were trying to capture. And 40 years ago, Payson was in the middle of nowhere, right? It has grown so much now, but I love that part of it. There's a million places you could have shot this, you know, in the mid-East, mm-hmm. somewhere, Midwest. But here, that's significant.
A lot of scenes filmed here at Payson High. We talked to the principal just a few moments ago, and he was talking about also lots of areas of Payson itself being used.
The tractor chicken fight.
So it'll be super fun to see what Kevin Bacon's reaction is. Virginia Pierce, president of the Utah Film Commission, when he comes here tomorrow night for the prom.
I know. So excited. I mean, this has been, I think, almost 2 years in the making. So, we all just keep looking at each other like, it's all happening.
And you're here to help set the stage,
yes,
right?
Yes. I mean, we've been involved for so long, and really Payson High has become friends, part of our family. And so we are down here helping set up and get ready for just, you know, all of the activity tomorrow.
Obviously, you're far too young to have been involved to bringing Footloose here the first time, but Why Utah? I mean, why, again, when I think about movies, I think Westerns, but this is just small town America film.
I mean, I think, you know, again, 40 years ago, so I don't have great records about, you know, how they found exactly Payson High, but there were a lot of small town America, kind of Anytown USA movies being filmed at the time. And Utah has, you know, I know we've talked about 100 years of film. We've been in the game a long time. So they knew about Utah, film studios did, and they have a lot of resources and crew and, you know, rental equipment here. So I think it was a good place to look for that small town America that would still have the resources they need.
And the school sounds like it was just swept up in the filming of it, where the book burning scene was filmed out there in the courtyard, and obviously the locker Ren McCormick had, the still classrooms were used, the office was used. It was probably, I'm going to imagine, a lot easier back in the early 80s for Hollywood to move in and convince a school district to allow them to take
over. I think
it was
a little
over.
More fly by the seat of their pants.
Probably.
Than it is these days.
There are a lot more restrictions these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are a little more savvy about what gets out there. And obviously with social media and, you know, everything is a little bit harder to contain. So I'm sure it was easier back then.
So what lies ahead for tomorrow night? Can you give us a little sneak peek about what Kevin can expect when he arrives?
I mean, really, it's the day. So he comes early tomorrow morning and is going to be making kits with the kids and the volunteers. I think we have lots of people signed up to help. And really, that's a big part of what they're doing here is creating these resource kits for at-risk youth. And I think our goal is 5,000 kits, which is going to be really fun to see out on the field. So Kevin's just so impressed from what we've heard about the kids and how motivated they are and how interested they are in giving back. And, you know, that's really where it started.
I didn't realize that he was coming to do some of the service beforehand. I thought it was going to be one of these sweep in big, you know, problem moment and then out 5 seconds later.
Yeah, no, he's here during the day. So he actually just to set the record straight, he is not attending prom. He's coming on prom day to enjoy, you know, the day with the kids and see the school and, you know, and really visit. He's in the middle of shooting a series right now, so he's kind of in and out, but he really...
That's even better in my view because these kids are doing such a wonderful job servicing the community. He'll be here to support them, making those kits for at-risk youth.
Yeah.
And more of an opportunity to interact with the kids.
He's really excited to meet the kids that have been driving this and walk the school and see all of the things. You know, it was, you know, when you hear him talk about Footloose, it really was a moment in his career. It really launched his career.
Well, and Virginia Pierce, by the way, president of the Utah Film Commission, live and in person with us here in the halls of Payson High School as they prep for Kevin Bacon coming here on prom day. Tomorrow to revisit the school where it all started, which, you know, Footloose filmed here at Payson High. It really was a moment, I'm just going to guess, in his career that I read that in 2013 he told Howard Stern during an interview that he would tip DJs at weddings, you know, after Footloose to not play the song Footloose. Because he didn't want to have to steal the thunder of the bride and groom. And also, I know this might be hard to believe. It sounds like he did some of the dance scenes, but there was a dance double who also, which is not unusual. There's also oftentimes.
We talked to an extra when, you know, about a month ago that was part of that dance scene at the end. And he was showing us the scene and he was like, okay, that's me. Okay, no, that was the double. Okay, that's me. Like, they pretty much had professional dancers, which if you watch that final scene in Footloose, those kids are really good. So it feels correct that wouldn't be just,
they just
you
pluck
know,
somebody out
extras.
Of the chemistry class right. and have them, yeah, dance like they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
so that's awesome, though. And I think that's awesome, though, that he also didn't want to be the center of attention at other people's weddings, like in real life weddings.
I mean, I think he's super grateful for the movie. I think as people always are, they look back at that pivotal moment in their career, but I think there's a minute of like, okay, you know, I'm Kevin, I'm not Ren.
Oh, he's been Ren all day today.
He's for sure Ren this weekend.
This weekend, he's 100% Ren.
Are the kids excited, Virginia?
So excited. I mean, it just has been so fun to see this actual come to fruition because, you know, Jenny Staley, who really worked on this project with me for the last couple of years, we would say to each other over the time, I was like, do you think we're really going to get him? Like, do you think he'll really come? And she was just trying to navigate, you know, how much to get the kids' hopes up versus didn't know. And it's just, you know, to see it all happening is really great.
And then a couple of weeks ago, the announcement came via the Today Show.
Yes. So we had talked to them. We heard back in December that he was going to commit. And then we came up with that.
You kept it a secret for the kids.
Actually,
that long?
The student council kept it a secret.
That's amazing.
They really were. Finally, I was like, we got to let these kids tell people.
They're going to explode.
Well, my goodness. Next stop for them is a top secret clearance. They could be CIA agents if they kept
Very
a secret
impressive.
For that long. And then they announcement came on the Today Show just a couple of weeks ago and how excited they've been ever since.
Great.
Great work. Virginia Pierce, president of the Utah Film Commission. What an impact the Film Commission and Kevin Bacon are going to have this weekend on these students here. Lasting memories, much like the film Footloose.
And remember that 40 years ago, we didn't have the streaming services. We didn't have the TV shows. We didn't have a billion different cable channels to direct our attention. Social media. Blockbuster movies were a big deal, and this captured the nation. Everyone loved this show. So exciting to be able to relive it 40 years later.
Thanks, Virginia. Yeah, good work.
So good to see you guys in person.
I know. Usually we're talking on the phone. It's fun to meet you. So I'll let you get back to work.
Thanks.
So you can get ready for those service projects and everything the kids are going to be doing here tomorrow and throughout the day. Straight ahead, Taylor Swift dropped a surprise on Swifties, a double album, 31 songs. I've listened to the whole thing. It's fabulous. And parents, I'm going to give you a hot tip straight ahead. This is a moment. This is a moment for you to shine with your teenagers who love Taylor Swift. Next.
Payson is cutting Footloose.
There was a time for this law, not anymore. This is our time to dance.
Kevin Bacon returns to Payson High this weekend before the old building is torn down. David Dejenovic joins students for a full day of Footloose prom activities. Here are Dave and Debbie, live from Payson High School on KSL News Radio.
We are in the hallway at Payson High broadcasting live where the students are getting prepped for Kevin Bacon's return to Payson High to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Footloose. And they might be absolutely exhausted because overnight, Taylor Swift dropped a sweet surprise, a double album called The Tortured Poets Department. And the first track features her and Post Malone. Started playing all 31 songs this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and when that one popped up first, I was like, all right, she did well with that.
You're in?
Inviting Post Malone. Oh, yeah,
it's
100%.
A beautiful song.
It is really a beautiful song. And we're going to talk to our producer, Caitlin Johnston, who is Utah's foremost Taylor Swift expert. How late were you open? Or how
open.
Late were you open?
I was open. Yeah,
you were open until 2 a.m.
2 a.m. 2:30, honestly, because I couldn't wind
down. How long were you awake was the better question.
I mean, we wrapped up listening around, I don't know, like 11:30, and then we noticed that there was a countdown on her Instagram.
Okay, so back it up.
The
first 16 songs drops at midnight Eastern time, which is 10 p.m. Utah time last night.
Had a whole listening party. I read the lyrics, analyze the lyrics. That's what our whole process is because she writes crazy things. And then she's been giving us two hints for a while. So we had the suspicion. I didn't know if it was going to be a couple extra songs. She does that. She gives
like
us
a bonus
few
song
extra
or
songs.
Something.
She did the same thing with Midnight's, a 3 a.m. version. But there was a countdown that popped up like after everybody kind of listened to the album because there were Taylor Nation on Twitter was kind of going along with it, like timing it out. And then we saw this countdown. We're like, all right, what is she doing? And I didn't expect 15 new songs.
It's a double album.
It's a double album. And she hinted at a double album all the way back when her 1989 Taylor's version re-record came out. And we all thought that was going to be a double.
But that wasn't.
Yeah, so she's
but
driven me is. Insane this week. And it's been the funnest week of my
you
life.
You and everybody
so,
else.
Yeah.
You and everybody else who's a big Swiftie.
So last night's job for me was to watch Footloose. Debbie's was to listen to Taylor Swift, yours as well. How would you describe this album? Like, what's the vibe? Because she's done so much. She's done country. She's done pop. She's done more folk and soulful stuff. What is this?
It's a lot to process. I'm still processing the 31 songs she gave us. It is poetic and painful. And that's pretty much how I'm just going to sum it up. And it's incredibly well written.
I would agree with you.
I always tell people if you're not, like, there's music people and there's lyrics people. I'm both. I kind of catch on depending on how it hooks me. And I have a very specific process with Taylor Swift and I read. I recommend reading her lyrics if you want to understand the draw.
It is a beautiful
and listen.
It is a beautiful album. I also double album. I also recognize that this is a moment for parents, and I'm going to explain myself. You have a lot of teenagers, girls and boys, mm-hmm. who will be listening to this album this weekend. It is 31 songs. It's more than 2 hours long. They're going to be drowning in their headsets listening to this album. And I watched something unfold yesterday at the grocery store, Caitlin, and it broke my heart. I was in the I was picking out some cheese in the grocery store, and I saw probably a 16-year-old girl walking behind what I think was person was her grandmother, talking her grandmother's ear off about Taylor Swift. And for the most part, grandma was extremely disinterested.
Yeah.
And I could tell in this moment that this teenager wanted nothing more than to talk about everything she knew about Taylor Swift and listen how excited she was for this new album to drop. I'm hoping that parents use this Taylor Swift's new album as an Easter basket yep. full of gifts to open up a conversation this weekend. We beg for these moments as parents when our kids will actually answer our questions, mm-hmm. pick their brains about this album, listen to it with them, put it on in the car when you're picking them up from school this afternoon. If they are huge Taylor Swift fans, they will become a fan of mom and dad too.
Yeah, and there's a huge opportunity there because there's such a big community of Taylor Swift fans, and Taylor does such a, the reason her fans are so loyal is because she's so engaged with her fans. She gives us tasks. All week we were unscrambling words, trying to put out a sentence. I learned it was a lyric last night, and it was
so it's just a fun way to
but yeah so
an
we
album.
Want to talk about it. We're all on TikTok and Instagram and stuff talking to everybody else about it because we just want to talk. But Taylor, she these lyrics and the words she's saying, she's explaining our own feelings to ourselves a lot of the time, and we're just we connect to it so deeply. So you can have conversations about what she's writing to learn more about, you know, what's going on in your family's life or just getting involved in the fun. My mom was even trying to help me figure out and crack the code. She was commenting and I was like, yeah, I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah, like just because we're all,
cool.
it's you once you get into
your mom is cool.
the rabbit hole, you can't get out.
I really
there's
do.
An opportunity.
I saw that yesterday and I thought it was a very, it was a huge missed opportunity to really engage with a teenager who's all in on this Taylor Swift album drop.
That's a great point, Debbie. And I love that you, that's where your mind went.
Yeah. I wanted to say something to her and I thought, I don't want to overstep.
Yeah, lean into that.
I really think it's a great chance for parents.
We don't know any of this, right? You don't have to know anything. You don't need to know anything about Pokemon or Japanese anime or some random indie band or the biggest, you know, star in the world. You don't need to know anything. All you have to do is ask questions.
Yep.
All you got to do is ask questions yeah. because they don't expect you to
What's
know
What's going
anything.
On with Taylor Swift this week? Oh, well, let me tell you. There's yeah. a lot. So.
Well, I think, too, sitting down and actually talking about the lyrics and how
yeah, this one's
how
cut.
They are impacting your child who's listening to these.
Yeah.
And it could even be an adult daughter or an adult son.
Yeah.
Lots of people are into Taylor Swift. She did a beautiful job with this, and I love the fact that she – just pulled you guys right
yeah.
into the 2 a.m. hour.
And I'm running on adrenaline, but
We're glad you're here with us,
yeah,
Caitlin,
I'm,
today.
I'm
I was
excited.
A little bit worried you're going to sleep
no,
through your
I
alarm.
No, I mean, I had an hour. Oh, I just like, it was like a blink sleep, and you're like, okay, I got to go. But I woke up yeah. listening to the album, so it's great.
Yeah, this will make her even richer, for sure.
She deserves
every Do we know
cent.
About the downloads yet, or how
I
well
don't
the...
know, but she's broken yeah. records, I'm sure. I haven't checked
She's
that.
Smashed
I'm just processing
all the records.
Everything she gave me last night.
Yeah, the Tortured...
Tortured Poets,
Poets
Department. The second part is the... What is it? I forgot the... There's a 31 track list, and I already forgot what it was called, because it was... midnight when she put it out.
I will say often on an album when I'm listening I will skip songs within about the first 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I can tell if I'm going to be in love with that song, and I skip many, many songs.
Yeah.
I did not skip any this time. I skipped yeah. one, and it was
well,
about 2 minutes in, and I was like,
sad.
I'm not there. It's a beautiful album. So Caitlin Johnston, Utah's biggest T-Swift fan. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I think this is an important moment for a lot of Swifties and a great opportunity for parents and grandparents to lean into the album release and really pick the Taylor Swift fans' brain about what's important to them about this album. We're back with the movie guys. They'll be teeing us up for a big weekend at the movie theaters. But also, I want to pick their brains about Footloose facts next. That is my dating theme song, Dave. It has been my dating theme song since I was 17 years old and I went to the movie Footloose. I absolutely love it. That's my favorite song from the Footloose soundtrack.
It's a good soundtrack, too. You got Kenny Loggins, Sammy Hagar. There's all sorts of great music in there. But you're right. Bonnie Tyler's version, the best.
We're live all morning long. We're just getting ready to wrap up our show here at Payson High School, where the students are getting ready to welcome back Kevin Bacon for prom day tomorrow. He'll be helping them make kits for at-risk youth at the school tomorrow morning. And it sounds like it's going to be an all-day-long project before prom tomorrow night. So an exciting time here at Payson High. And hi, guys, movie show guys, Standing By Live, Steve and Andy. I was just reading up. I was trying to remember if Footloose was based on real events as we talk about fun Footloose facts. Not only was it filmed here at Payson High, and a lot of the scenes were filmed here at Payson High and throughout town here, but it was based on actual events in a small town in Oklahoma that had banned dancing. And then students, I think, challenged an old law and won. And so that was the birth of Footloose.
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, what else do you guys know about this movie?
Well, here's a fun fact. I didn't see it until 2 years ago.
Andrew.
Okay.
How dare you? How do
First of all, I was 9 when it came out. And I had other things in the 1984 summer that I cared about, like Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Gremlins. Footloose, the teenage girl that every girl in my neighborhood said they saw 8 times, was not high on my list. I'm sorry. It just wasn't.
Well, you don't want to know about the reviews that came out back in 84. They were not exactly.
Were they not friendly?
Tell us about that, Steve.
Well,
that's
let's see. One of Roger Ebert, who, you know, is well known, he said,
sure.
They tried to do 3 things, and none of them well. I thought that was
I disagree
rude.
With that.
And then the consensus
17-year-old
was...
17-year-old Deb disagrees with that.
Yes,
17-year-old Deb. No, I love that movie, and I always have.
One consensus review was, it's a nice hunk of trashy teenage cheese. Like, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty harsh.
What do you think, Steve? What do you... I mean, critically, because I love it. I love it no matter what, but what does your critical eye say?
Oh, I got a kick out of it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I was worried about the tractors. That kind of, you know, I have a tractor, and I was like, "You can't play chicken with a tractor. What's wrong with you guys?"
That was okay. So now I said I only saw it 2 years ago, so I was watching this from like the grown-up eyes, and that was one of the more ridiculous parts. And so was the part. I think it's the song when he's dancing by himself in the barn to "We Need a Hero." I need a hold.
Oh, that's called anxiety dancing.
Oh my gosh. Bob's Burgers, I kid you not, Jimmy Jr., the kid who lives across the street, they animated that whole entire dance sequence for one point when he goes out to dance in a barn by himself. I did not know that it was parodying Footloose until I saw Footloose, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the kids here are so excited for Kevin Bacon to return to the halls of Payson High School. It's a movie, guys. The show's coming up, of course, from 11 to 1 in just a few moments. Steve and Andy standing by to give you all of the latest and greatest things going on at the movie theater and streaming this weekend. Jenny Staley is the student council advisor. These kids have been working hard, and they kept a secret since December that Kevin Bacon was coming back.
Can you imagine?
That must have just been so difficult for them, but wow.
It really was. We threatened them a little bit within an inch of their lives. You guys, you can't tell anyone. This is going to be so great, but you can't tell anybody. They were so on board with it, and it was so fantastic the way that they were able to sit on that, and it was worth it. I think every second that they held on to that secret, it was worth it because of the big reveal and the excitement that's been building, and it was just perfect. It came out perfectly.
Caleb Dimmick is joining us right now. He's on the student council. Okay, I'm sure you guys had big hopes, big dreams. When it actually happened, you had to have been a little shocked to get that news.
Well, we definitely were. And I remember like a month before, we were like, are we going to do it? And so many people in the council were like, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. And one teacher specifically was like, you guys aren't doing it. And I think that motivated us because we went and we got it done and we invited him back and he accepted our invitation.
How did you do it?
It was just a lot of repetitiveness and a lot of just really spirit coming from the students. If it wasn't student-oriented, I don't know if it would have happened.
Did you tweet at him? Did you Instagram at him?
We had people trying everything. We sent Instagrams. We sent, like you said, tweets. We wrote a letter to his band. We tried to invite them to come. We went through his charity. And finally, it worked out going through the 6degrees.org.
I think that's one thing that people didn't really realize was the kids were doing all these very public things on our social media, and they were tweeting and they were making videos, and behind the scenes there were three or four of us really just working hard to get in touch with the right people and try to find the right channels.
What's 6degrees.org?
Yes.
What is that?
So that is Kevin Bacon's charity, and he
there you go.
Has done amazing things with that, and they were right in the right place at the right time for us, and we were in the right place in the right time for them. So
how's tomorrow going to go, Caleb, for the students here?
Well, at 8 a.m., we're going to have a bunch of students check into the field, and they're going to be able to build kits with – and when Kevin Bacon comes at 10:30, he's going to come and get to build kits with them, and it's going to be really exciting. And then at that point, Kevin Bacon's going to be excused, and we're going to give him a tour of the school again. So that'll be fun.
Are you going to take him to his old locker?
Yeah, we'll take him to the
locker. Red McCormick's old locker, right?
Right.
What – have you seen the movie Footloose, Caleb?
I have, yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is probably – oh, gosh, that's a good question. Probably when he gets angry and he goes and dances, because I always think it's so relatable because I do that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I do love that scene. That's fun.
All right, so here's my big question for you. If you were to describe your dancing skills, are you more Red McCormick or Willard?
Definitely Willard.
Meanwhile, everybody's Willard.
Yeah, everyone's Willard.
I'm Willard too, man. I get it.
How big of a deal is this for the students here, Caleb?
I think it's huge. Everyone was so excited. It shocked me how important it was to everyone when everyone pulled up to that assembly when he told us he was going to come.
Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that really impressed us and showed us really how much it meant to everyone.
Did you? But you already knew he was coming.
I already knew he was coming.
But you kept a secret.
It was difficult.
But didn't they look surprised on TV?
That was incredible, right? But the rest of the student body didn't know.
Oh, yeah, they had no idea.
That's incredible.
We actually had people coming into the assembly saying, this is really cute, but he's not going to come.
I love it. The doubting to the last minute.
Yeah, till the last second.
Jenny, Caleb, thank you so much. Congratulations. What a fantastic story. This is amazing. What a great history.
Yeah, this will be a great day, a great weekend, and memorable. More memorable moments thanks to Footloose. The 40th anniversary, Kevin Bacon coming back to Payson. Let's go out with I Need a Hero. No? There we go.